Today on Mission Possible, Jenny Newsma speaks with author Maria Curry about her life in Palestine.
I'd like you, if you could, to tell our listeners a little bit about that whole second part of your life, which began, I believe, in 1995, when your family returned to the Holy Land. How old were your children when you moved there? And tell us how that all came about.
My children were all under 11 and 12 years of age when we returned to the Holy Land, because we thought it's very important, if we are going to return, it's much easier in those ages than when they become 16 or 17 or 15. They become very attached to their friends, very attached to their school, very difficult to make a move. And my husband, being a Palestinian and a student at Helena College, where I was a student myself, following the years of starting our family in Boston, he saw great chance with the Oslo Agreement, where we really believe that Israelis and Palestinians in the early 90s, when they signed in front of the White House lawn, they were going to sign for a peace agreement, two states, and as Christians, Muslims, and Jews, we would live in peace and build Palestine. And so my husband returned to boost the economy, to help give jobs to people by creating a small business, a microbrewery, to make Taibe beer, named after the village that he's so proud to come from, the only all-Christian village that is now in Palestine. And so, unfortunately, in 2000, although everything was progressing okay, since September 28, 2000, our lives as normal have stopped to exist, because that was the cycle of violence that began there, and the second uprising because of the famous visit of the Israeli former prime minister into one of the Islamic holy sites, trying to make a statement always that Jerusalem is Jewish. And of course, Jerusalem is sacred to many people, but that is what sparked this terrible onset of violence that we began to experience, where now we're really closed in behind a huge big wall, 26 feet high, and our Christian community especially is suffering. All of the Christians there are Palestinians in ethnicity, but we can't move around. We do not have permission to go into Jerusalem, which people from all over the world come. If you're an Israeli Jew, you're allowed to go. But if you're a Palestinian, whether you're a Christian or a Muslim, you don't have access to Jerusalem unless you have a permit. So we suffer from not being able to move around. We have no basic freedom of movement like you might think of as normal in any part of the world. And all around us, Israel is making efforts to have a greater Israel and help create a 100% Jewish homeland. So we're suffering from illegal Israeli settlements going up on all the mountaintops around Taibe. Mm. And what that means is that the settlers control the roads and control the natural resources. So in Taibe, we don't have water Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but settlements do have water 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So it's these pure discriminatory policies that the Israeli army uses, because our land is under occupation and we are at the mercy of the Israeli army.
Mm. It sounds like such a difficult climate. Even though most of our listeners don't have to live under that kind of situation, they're parents and they're dealing with challenges every day. And tell us how you have dealt with this as a mother, as your kids were growing older from 11 on up and things got more difficult. What were some of the things that you tried to teach them through it, and what are some of the things that you could share with our families who might be struggling with their own challenges?
I think for the environment that I was in, and every single day being deprived from a simple thing like going to school, where from Taibe to Ramallah, where our school is, it's only a 15-minute ride, but because of the 4 or 5 checkpoints we have to go through, it would turn into a 2-hour nightmare. And so it was really a challenge for us to even practice one simple commandment from the Gospels of love your neighbor, love your enemy, because at the last checkpoint, when the Israeli soldier does not let you through and he says this road is closed, you cannot pass, it really takes all of Christ's love in your heart to turn around and to think of saying a good sentence to that soldier, to pray for that soldier, to say, God protect you today, and having my children, you know, challenge me and punch me out on my arm saying, Mom, don't you think you should tell him God take you away because, you know, look, he's making us late for school. Mm. Each and every single day, I'm challenged to teach my children that this is what's distinguishing us in being Christians, that we practice forgiveness. If we want our Lord and Savior to forgive us, we must forgive others, and especially people that hurt us, because this is the biggest challenge, reconciliation and forgiveness. I live in a land where Muslims and Jews are constantly killing each other, constantly slaughtering each other, and following Old Testament thinking, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And it, our Christian presence there is so important, because we come along and we want to witness for Christ's love and for Christ's peace. And so I think something that we might take just for granted, love your enemies, it's just such a challenge to teach and to constantly remind my children every single day while we were at those checkpoints, while we had hardships going to school, that this is the greatest commandment Christ is calling upon us to follow, love one another. And sometimes it's easy to love people that are similar to you, but he's calling upon us to see Christ in the other, even if the other is not Orthodox, if the other is a Muslim, if the other is a Jew, if the other is an atheist. God is in each and every human being, and this is what we are called upon as Orthodox Christians, to see God in the other, even if the other is not an Orthodox person like us.
Well, that's so true, Maria, and may it all be blessed. Thank you. Even though your situation there is unique and a level of antagonism that we don't have to deal with here, we do have our kids mixing it up with people who come from a very different background, often religiously. The family style might be quite different. We need to teach them how to love and love the other, and that's very difficult. It's difficult for us parents to do sometimes, much less to teach that to our children and ask them.
Yes,
as well.
And it's also difficult to continue that patience, because no matter what our children do or in how many ways they challenge us, our greatest challenge is to continue to be a living witness for our children, because how we are reacting to others in situations, whether we are in traffic, whether we are in church, we're an Orthodox Christian 24 hours a day for eternity. So our children observe us. And so I feel it's the type of thing where we ourselves are living witnesses for them in our behavior and what we do, and also just continuing constantly to fill our heart with Christ's love, because sometimes it's so easy to get frustrated and to get angry if your child is not obeying the simplest of commandments. But the greatest challenge is, can you respond back with Christ's peace? Can you respond back with Christ's love instead of, you know, these days when we are getting into a lot of, especially here in the United States as I travel, domestic violence and where families are very troubled. So it is really very challenging for each and every person to continue to work within their own heart to gain this inner peace so that it could kind of be shared when they are dealing in very difficult situations with their children, and to grow in patience, because even the Holy Father say it is with our patience that we will gain our salvation.
And so many of our families now have been hit by the difficult economic conditions, and it's added a whole layer of worry and stress to family life. And interesting talking to you and thinking about the stress you've lived under as a mother raising your children in a very difficult environment. Is there anything you could share to help parents who might be dealing with a job loss or something that's really causing the family to feel quite a bit of tension and worry? What kinds of things did you do over the years to help deal with what was right under your nose all the time that was making life very difficult?
Well, especially the environment that I live in the Holy Land, not having freedom, not having our basic human rights, I always tell people in this country that truly, you live in paradise, because even if maybe one parent has lost their job, maybe another parent has a job, or maybe with the unemployment benefits that happen with the American government, it helps to somehow get you back on your feet. I live in a place where Bethlehem is 80% unemployed, and Gaza is 80% unemployed. People cannot live unless a humanitarian organization gives them their rice, their oil, their flour to bake bread. So I always say to people, please give glory to God, because on the other side of the world, things you might take for granted here, we cannot have. You easily get in your car and you go to a place of worship. We have Christians who want to go to the life-giving tomb of Christ in Jerusalem, and for 25 years are not able to have access, and those permits aren't always as easy to get. And also, I say to people, please give glory to God, even if you have a simple thing as a small house, because people complain, well, you know, they have to share the room or my taxes are too high. I say, please, you know, the Israeli army has demolished more than 19,000 Palestinian homes since 1967. Just think of all those displaced people. Mm. And even in having good health, I say, please, you know, give glory to God for having good health. I live in an environment where if you're in the wrong place in the wrong time, this is how we have more than 50,000 people injured for life since 2000. It means they don't have a leg, they don't have an arm, they don't have an eye. And being at the wrong place the wrong time means they were just on their way to school or on their way back from school. But because we have these army clashes, unfortunately, you know, we have these disastrous, more than 50,000 people injured because of these terrible clashes. So I always say to people, the smallest that we have, try to see God's hand in it. Try to see God's message in it, because all of us are here on this earth for such a short time. So what really matters is, how can we use the small things that Christ might have given us to give glory to Him with whatever field of work we're in, with whatever neighborhood we might live in, with whatever life condition we might have? What are we doing to save our souls, to gain eternal life? Because this lifetime here on earth is the shortest. What is important is, what are we doing for that greatest commandment that Christ says? Love one another. Love your neighbor, to help us gain salvation.
The virtue of gratitude, of teaching our kids thankfulness in each and every moment, and for the things, there are always things we can be thankful for. And it's such a good reminder that our lives are short, and we want to convey to them what is eternal. And tell us a little bit about what you and your husband are doing now, the business that you have, and then also tell us if there's anything that our listeners could do to help.
Thank you. With my husband now being the first democratically elected mayor in Taipei since 2005, we've been trying to find creative ways to survive there, because we're completely closed in. So we've been trying to use our good name of Taipei Beer to entice people to come to the village under the umbrella of a Taipei Oktoberfest. And when people come, they end up buying honey and oil and embroidery and ceramic lamps and all of the local goods that our five women cooperatives produce, and the small businesses in Taipei. And we found that this is a peaceful way to resist the occupation. We found this is nonviolent action. We feel, as Christian people living under harsh conditions, our presence there, just staying there, is our peaceful resistance, and keeping our business there, trying to keep our money there to try to have a normal life, is our peaceful resistance. And we have many projects that are happening with affordable housing for members of our church. We're trying to give hope to people not to be squeezed out of the land, because throughout these years of terrible checkpoints, 50% unemployment and wars, people constantly want to leave and go to a better place like Canada, America, South America to work and give their children a better life. And so we have a project with the Metropolis of Boston, who hosts funds for us and collects funds from all over the world for people that want to help with our Tibet Orthodox Christian Housing Project in the village of Tibet for our St. George Church. They can send funds to the Greek Orthodox Metropolis of Boston, and we hold the funds until they become $8,000 or $10,000, and this is how, and then it's sent to our church to help build homes. This is how we've raised $145,000 thus far since 2000, and have started 12 skeleton units to help 12 families, and now working on the next four homes. So it will become 16 member housing, helping these 16 families have hope to stay in this very land where our Lord was born, walked, and was resurrected. And we have an education project with our sister church in Norfolk, Virginia, in order to help people with affordable tuitions and help them stay there. The tuition there is not $50,000 like it is in America. It's almost $2,000 a year at Bethlehem University or Birzeit University. So trying to create a small endowment fund where it started with nothing. Now we're up to $40,000 saved in a secured CD, where $500 is sent from our sister church in Norfolk, Virginia, the Annunciation Cathedral, to a graduating senior to go to a local college there in Palestine.
Amazing, amazing program you'll give to the future through those young people that you're helping. And if people are interested in logging in, is that www.stgeorgetaibe.org? Would that be the correct address?
If people go to our St. George Taibe website, they can have a little background about the housing project and the education project and all of the things about the Taibe Oktoberfest, because it's my voluntary work to the Taibe municipality. All of the information about the Village Festival, which this year in 2010 is happening October 2nd and October 3rd. So if anyone is on the other side of the wall where we live, we certainly welcome them to this open day in our village in Tibet, which is famous for receiving Christ right before his crucifixion, where Jesus wanted to escape from the Jewish community. So in the Gospel of John 11, verse 54, we read that Jesus came into an area called Ephraim, and this is our area of Taibe, where our name was switched over in the 12th century by the local Christians being so hospitable and following the commandment of Christ of loving thy enemy. When the conqueror Salah ad-Din came, and after, you know, he finished slaughtering everyone, still the local Christians dared to feed his horses, to feed his soldiers, and he made a comment, "You are Taibin," and in Arabic it means good. And so our oral history says we dropped the name Ephraim and picked up the name Taibe, again with Christian people witnessing for Christ's love and this commandment to love one another and not just love your neighbor, but love your enemy.
Mm. Thank you so much, Maria. It has been so nice to have this time with you. It's a great blessing to be able to talk with you. Most appropriate, I think, during this Lenten season, to be able to speak with an Orthodox mother who is witnessing to the love of Christ there in such a difficult situation. Again, if you're interested in the Christina books, www.holycrossbookstore.com. If you'd like to help Maria and her husband's ministry there in the Holy Land, www.stgeorgetaibe, and that's spelled TAYBEH.org. Thank you, Maria. God bless you and your work.
You've been listening to Mission Possible with Jenny Newsma. This has been a production of the Orthodox Christian Network.